selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they war, they shoot, they kill, they mass on parade, they burn the kids, no one thinks gun, trees, lie to your face, fight, and die, this God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see the shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, from rape, they burn, the kids, no more things, cut, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV. And it is January something, the 5th maybe, 4th or 5th. Been awfully busy here lately, and I'm not on top of what even day it is. The 5th. The 5th of January in 2017. And I just saw something in the chat there saying that Montreal's blowing up the ice on the roads with dynamite. They could be just drunk in Quebec. Montreal's a bit of a party town. So maybe they just found some dynamite and thought, screw this, we'll just blow the ice out. I don't see the story anywhere, but it's a pretty cool story if it's actually what they're doing there. I saw an article this morning in the Toronto Sun talking about a $1 or $2 trillion debt for Canada here. Now, I'm not 100% sure what the debt level is in the United States, but we're like 10% of your population, so we hit a $2 trillion, and that's federal debt. That doesn't include the provincial debts. The Ontario provincial debt is, I think it's bucking about twice that of California, who's supposed to be way in debt. And California, I mean, the province of Ontario is 15 million people in there, give or take a few, maybe 13, somewhere between 13 and 15 million people. And California has more people than the entire so-called country of Canada. Canada's about 34 million and California's about 38 million, and our little province of Ontario with 15 million, 13 million people has a debt way, way bigger than California's. And now they're talking about Tinkerbell Trudeau, our latest, greatest global puppet, is, he did give the global fund $780 million, I believe it was, to help, the unfortunate on the planet with malaria and AIDS and all this kind of stuff. And when we tracked that down, he gave that money to the Global Fund. And guess who the Global Fund funds, which is the Clinton Foundation. So the people in this neck of the woods ought to be pretty damned upset that $708 million was siphoned out of their pockets, and it's all borrowed money because everybody's broke. So, you know, the children going into work now, or the young people starting their first jobs and that, are going to be paying the debt to service the Clinton Foundation. And we've been just, not us, but Tinkerbell has been just tossing money out the door like there's no tomorrow. But that's no different than his daddy. It's amazing, you know, we had the Bush clan, you know, father and son. And up here we have the Trudeau's father and son. Sound like a club to anybody? You know, no American man or woman can get into Congress, let alone, or the Senate, let alone become the prime minister or the president. I mean, this is a closed club. These are not people who represent anybody except those who put them in power. And that's unfortunate. So who has the influence over these so-called governments? Obviously, the corporations. If I call up the prime minister's office and ask a pertinent simple question, they either run, hang up, or just give me a generally hard time. But if I'm the CEO of a large multinational corporation, I will get the prime minister or premier on the horn pretty quick, and we'll probably go out and have dinner or whatever, and I can tell them how it is that the government slash company can make money by doing as I, the CEO of a large corporation, tells the premier or the prime minister. And it's no different stateside, it's no different anywhere. We are being screwed over, have always been screwed over, but now they pulled all the stops out, basically. And they're coming in for the kill. And it's up to us to decide whether or not we're going to step up to the plate or not. Let me see here. Yeah, I can't find this, this story on blowing up the ice. On the roadways, that would be a cool story. I'd like to see the video of that. Anyways, we have carbon tax rebates start flowing into Alberta bank accounts. If you happen to notice a bit of boost in your bank account today, it could be because you are eligible to receive the new carbon tax rebate now underway. Well, does that sound like a load of bunk or what? It's a carbon tax, and what? It's increasing your bank account. It says here that the Alberta government is trying to take the sting out of the carbon tax and says help is already arriving. Households that qualify for a rebate on the new $20 per ton carbon levy that came into effect January 1 started receiving payments today from the Canadian Revenue Agency, the CRA, which absolutely has nothing whatsoever to do with Canada. It's a separate, untouchable corporation. Deputy Premier Sarah Hoffman said many Albertans have been surprised they didn't have to do anything in order to start receiving these monies. They just had to file their 2015 taxes. She held a press conference at the home of an Edmonton family who were among the first to receive a rebate. Sounds like a photo op. Those who use direct deposit on their taxes should have received their first payment Thursday, but those who get a check in the mail after filing taxes should start receiving rebates in the mail as early as next week. Some to receive multiple payments. According to the province, 60% of households in Alberta will receive the full benefit of its carbon tax rebate program, and 66% will receive at least a partial rebate. Freaking brilliant. Single adults earning below $47,500 will receive a $200 rebate in 2017. That amount decreases as income rise. People earning $51,000 250 or more will receive no rebate. For families including couples with no children, the rebate starts at 300 and can go as high as 420. For a couple with four kids or a single parent with five kids, families with combined net incomes below 95,000 qualify for the full amount, dropping to zero as household income reaches 100,000. For a couple, 105,000 or 101,000, for a couple with two kids and whatever. The rebate will come in multiple payments throughout the year, and the more you get, the more payments there will be. This story makes no sense. 400 or more delivered in four payments in January, April, July, and October. 200 to 399 delivered in two payments January and July. And if your rebate is $100 to $199 delivered in one payment in January. The government spokesman says those who were laid off last year will get their first payment in July if they file their taxes this spring. Other rebate initiatives to start soon. For others paying the carbon tax with no rebate, Hoffman says there is still an opportunity for them to help green Alberta's grid and save money while doing their part to reduce energy consumption. Home energy efficiency grants or incentives will be available in the spring, but little detail has been released. The province is promising to help make people's homes warmer and more efficient and use less energy in the future by upgrading with items like double pane windows or an energy efficient furnace. Other examples include free installation of residential efficiency products like lighting, water fixtures, heating components, rebates for efficient appliances, lighting and insulation for homes, incentives for high efficiency retrofits of lighting, heating, cooling, and hot water systems for businesses, nonprofits, and institutions such as schools. The province launched the Energy Efficiency Alberta Agency last year, which will be in charge of delivering programs to homes, businesses, and communities. The NDP's Climate Leadership Plan is rolled out. Find out more about the rebates and where money from the carbon tax will be invested into on the Alberta government's website. Questions on the rebate payments are being directed to the Canadian Revenue Agency, which is administering the program on the province's behalf. Well, I don't know if the people in Alberta have gone silly or what. You know, the cost of living is going through the roof, and they're offering up to a max $400 rebate. Now, what the hell are you going to do with $400 in 2017? I'll tell you, not much. Not much at all. So this is just one of these phony benefits, again, that the government gives people in order to tangle them up further into their paperwork and their schemes and their nonsense. So, you know, everybody's pissed about this carbon tax, which, you know, they asked Al Gore at one of the meetings in the United States a few years ago what they should be looking at, a carbon tax or a, what was the other one called? A carbon tax or a carbon, some, or a C, what the hell was it? I forget what the other one was called anyways. They're both ridiculous. They're both the same thing. They're both sticking their hands in your pocket and stealing from you. And they asked Gore which one that they should, you know, consider. And Gore says, well, we need both taxes. Right, we need both things. I guess with carbon credits and carbon tax, because he's involved in the phony business of carbon credits. So the poor people who are desperately trying to stay in their homes and can't afford the heat, the hydro, and everything else, the government comes up with this plan that they will retrofit your house for you. Well, that's a problem. Because that is right out of a UN document. And just to prove it, I will put it in the chat. And if you are listening and not in the chat, you can simply go to my blog, canadiantruths.wordpress.com, and just, I think, put in the word paper. I'm going to try that right now, see if I can bring it up. And see if that's how we get to it. Okay, paper, David Suzuki. Let's see if that brings it up, because David Suzuki rewrote the UN document. Now, where is that thing? Oh, here it is. It's called Property Assessed Payments for Energy Retrofits, Recommendations for Regulatory Change and Optimal Program Features. Now, this particular paper, I don't care where you live, you really need to look at it and read it to understand how badly you're going to get scammed, because you got to remember what's not sustainable. What is not sustainable besides yourselves? Private property is not sustainable. So this is all part and parcel of driving you out of your house. Now they say, oh, well, we're going to help retrofit your house. Well, the provinces and the country so far in the hole, they can't get out. Nobody can get out. So, you know, where's the money coming to retrofit, you know, millions of homes? Where's that coming from? Well, the scam is that they're going to, you're going to have the cities, and a city is a municipality, make no mistake about it, and the provinces are going to start retrofitting your homes. But there's a hook to this. They're involved with the banks. And these retrofits, these dollars that are going to be going out are being sold. And they're going out on the derivatives market to bring us to the next crash, which I don't know how far down the road is. They're going to try and get these retrofit programs going before they pull the complete plug. But this nonsense is about driving you out of your house. Now, one of the deals is that they're going to make this so that you are going to have a certain level of conservation, a certain level of insulation energy efficient appliances and stuff. And you say, geez, I just spent, you know, 30, 40, 50 grand, whatever, getting up to snuff here. But according to United Nations, which is rewritten by David Suzuki. So he got paid to rewrite it for the Ontario government, but he didn't write the damn thing in the first place. The UN wrote it. And I have both documents. I have both the UN document and the David Suzuki document. And David Suzuki was paid by the taxpayers to basically plagiarize or localize the UN agenda. And this is the same thing with all the agendas. So the document, we have here, from the document, ratcheting up of building and appliance equipment energy efficiency standards. This is in the document. The timed ratcheting up of building and appliance performance standards so that the current best in class become minimum requirements in a few years. As noted by Ashhot Gupta of the Natural Resources Defense Council, would encourage greater efficiency on an ongoing basis. Ontario's building code incorporates both energy and water conservation measures. Code authorities also could consider regulating plug loads. So I'm just going to put this in here. There's a document written by David Suzuki, and below that link is the same document available at the UN. And we'll put that in because If your local council where you live is talking about the need to upgrade homes, retrofit homes to become more energy efficient, more appliance efficient, understand what you're getting involved in. This is a backdoor takedown of your right of property. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I don't know how old this is. This is not too old. 2012 is when we first found this document. And so I'm going to put that in the chat. We got to stop just whining and complaining about what's going on out there. And this idea that it's not going to affect you. Well, you're affected already. The Comer lawsuit. No, I haven't seen anything. Somebody just put something in the chat if I'd seen any updates about the Comer lawsuit from the 7th of December in Toronto. No, I haven't. I haven't really paid much attention to the Comer lawsuit because I know who Gulati is. He used to be a federal, I think it was a constitutional lawyer or something, but nonetheless, a federal lawyer. So he knows the whole thing's a fraud. He's 100% sure the whole thing's a fraud because, well, he's a lawyer, which makes him a liar and a fraud. And we know Comer was originally funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, so we know the whole Comer deal is a complete and total fraud. We know that. This thing about getting Canada's bank back, Canada Bank, or the Bank of Canada, it was the corporate bank of the corporation known as Canada, period. And it's a fraud. So do we want the Bank of Canada back? No, we don't want the Bank of Canada back because it's a corporate bank. That corporate bank was sold to the bankers, the international bankers. It's all business. It's all corporate. And Comer and Rockefeller, you might as well say Gulati, are all pushing the international globalist corporate agendas. So update on it. The update I would like to see a headline in the newspaper calling the Comer lawsuit what it is, a distraction, a bait and switch, smoke and mirrors, and a complete and total fraud from the get-go. Now, I was talking to a guy. I want to thank Duck for that because he knew this guy down his neck of the woods who was one of the early members of Comer and has since kind of backed out of it a little bit. And I had a chat with him and I talked about Gulati. And what he thought, because I never met Gulati, but I know he's a lawyer, and I know he's a federal lawyer, so I know he's full of crap. So that takes any legitimacy away from him. But the gentleman that I was talking to said that in his consideration is the only reason that Gulati got involved at all. It had nothing to do whatsoever whether or not the Bank of Canada was legitimate or not. It only had to do with the fact that Gulati was offered a large sum of money. Okay? He's not doing it pro bono, so he doesn't really give a shit. Because if he was that concerned about the Bank of Canada, he certainly wouldn't be charging anybody to try to get our wonderful bank back. No, the gentleman from Comer I was talking to said that his thought process after consideration was that the only reason that Gulati got involved was that there was a large, very large chunk of money offered for him to take on the case. So we know Rockefeller's involved in this. We know that Comer is basically, if you look at the founders of Comer, they're communists. So what the hell, what's going on here, right? This is, I mean, the Bank of Canada is a corporate bank, and it was a crown bank. And, you know, they said, well, we use that bank to build our railways and our waterways and all this kind of stuff at no interest. At no interest. Yeah, well, because you, the people, were working for them for low wages in order to build their infrastructure, not your infrastructure, their infrastructure, their business infrastructure. But who paid it back at no interest? The men and women who built the infrastructure. It was money loaned, interest or not, it was money loaned to these corporations, the railways, the seaways, So those corporate entities are basically getting free money, interest-free money, from the bank. Now, even back then, the average Joe was paying in about 6% interest. So they said, well, the government borrowed the money for free, interest-free. Well, if the government can borrow money from itself interest-free, then why in the hell are you paying 6% way back then? Total and complete scam. You don't want the Bank of Canada back. You don't want Canada back. Unless you're happy being a corporate frickin' subject citizen slave. Then, by all means, go fight to get the bank back. But if you've come to the understanding that you're actually a man or a woman, and you have nothing to do with anything that's going on in these lands, because again, you're real and it ain't. It's a fiction. And it's all based on the legal system, which was created by people like Galati, lawyers. For whose benefit? Theirs and their friends' benefit. They sit back, they get fat, they drink good drinks and smoke good cigars while they watch you labor. And when they want more money, they just stick their hand in your pocket and take it from you. That's what we call responsible government up here. But it's not responsible, it's irresponsible. Try and hold somebody in the government liable. Have fun with that. Why? Because irresponsible means you're not liable, you're not bound, you're not chargeable. Well, who's left to be responsible? You are. You're liable, you're chargeable, and you're bound. So we got to get that switched around. We got to make them responsible. If they're irresponsible and they're not liable and they're just borrowing money like it's going out of style and sticking the debt on your back, then the last thing we want to do is be responsible. We want to be irresponsible just like they are. You know, people are waking up. I went to the building supply place today, and most of the people who work there are adults. It's very depressing to go in there. It's depressing to speak to most people anymore. There don't seem to be anybody home. We almost ran over a guy yesterday going to the job site. He just stepped right off the freaking curb. He's got his head down in a bag of popcorn or so, whatever the hell he was doing. It's blowing and snowing like a bitch, and this guy just steps off the curb. Doesn't even lift his head to look. My brother-in-law was driving. He hit the brakes there, and he goes, he pulls over, you know, on the other side of the road. He goes, what the hell's this guy doing? And then the guy looks up and sees us and goes, it kind of gets his attention. Well, if you're that stupid to walk off the curb without looking to see if something's coming, this wasn't an old man or an old woman. This was a guy in his 20s. If you're that daft, you deserve to get run over. But this is what I see everywhere I go anymore. Walk into a building supply company, and it's like, you know, can I get this? I don't know. Well, how much is that? I don't know. Holy sweet Jesus. But today, you know, I was quite surprised. There's a little girl working at the front desk today, and I've run into her a couple times there. She's part-time, and she's a student. And she's reading a book. When I walked in, well, that's where I have to go pay. And so I went up to see her, and she got the printout out and everything. And I said, I saw you reading a book when I come in. What are you reading? And this girl's probably, I'm thinking, probably somewhere between 17 and 19, likely. I said, what you reading? And she said, I'm reading a copy of 1984. And I'm going, really? And she goes, yeah. And I says, do you understand what you're reading? And she says, well, I'm working away at it. And I said, well, Orwell is not the name of the guy that wrote it. I forget what his real name is. But I said, you got to understand, that's not a fiction. Okay, that's not a fiction. Okay, it's a prediction of the future based on knowledge. Because the writer's father was very high up in the British bureaucracy. And he knew what the hell the plan was. These are long-term plans. He wrote it down. Now, from when that book came out, you weren't born. But to now, you look at the surveillance, you look at the government overreach, and you look at all of this stuff, and you're reading that book. You must be going, how the hell does this guy know this stuff? How? I mean, did he just make this up in his head? No, he didn't make it up. He knew what the hell was coming. He knew what the plan was. So it's very interesting to see a girl that young reading a copy in 1984. I was very impressed. Good evening, Goyim. Yeah, I got something. I'm going to start beating the shit out of the Jews here shortly. Probably not tonight, but, this idea of the Jews. Anyways, I stay with his girl for a minute. So, you know, I've started signing my name. I just thought I'd do this for something. I've been doing it all week. People ask me to sign something, a receipt or whatever, and I used to put my name on it, because that's what I thought. Can you sign here? Sure, it is my name. So now I say, can you sign here? I go, absolutely. And I've been doing this everywhere all week. I just put an X there. And the young girl is reading 1984. I said, I'm just using an X now. She said, I don't give a shit what you use. We just need some sort of a mark there. Any news about Dean Clifford? What's up with Dean Clifford? I haven't looked at Dean Clifford for a very long time. Is he back in trouble again or something? I have no idea. You know, there's one gentleman that's incarcerated right now that I wish something could be done about, and that is, and I don't even remember his name now. He was on my show out of West Virginia, and a hell of a good man. And he walked into the den, Viper's den, and he had everything together, and they still threw him in jail, just once again to prove that you do not have a system of law. You have a bunch of vipers, you have a bunch of snakes who are there to protect themselves. They don't give a damn about the Constitution of America, just like we don't have. I mean, I heard a constitutional lawyer or a lawyer talking about something to do with Canada here and our Constitution and that, and brought up this Peter Hogg guy, who they've got up on a throne as he is the epitome of understanding of our Constitution and our Charter rights here in Canada, really. So this one guy, this Peter Hogg guy, none of you other constitutional lawyers seem to know anything about the Constitution, except for this Peter Hogg guy. And who's Peter Hogg? He's a New Zealander. Now, how in the hell does a New Zealander become the mouthpiece, the expert on the Canadian Constitution, when all the lawyers who went to school in Canadian law schools and studied the Constitution and put themselves up with constitutional lawyers can't seem to say anything about the Constitution? They always refer to Peter Hogg. If there's only one man in this entire country that understands the Charter and the Constitution, I would say we're in serious amount of trouble, especially since the guy wasn't even born. He's a freaking New Zealander. Same thing in the United States. These are not courts. These are not judges. They're criminals. Plain and simple. Criminals. That's it. And we really got to come to terms with it. And we will. You know, when I was talking to Michael Schmidt there, what day did we go over there? Tuesday. You know, I told him, I say on the show a lot, you know, we don't want to become violent because that's what they want. And Michael seemed pretty happy to hear that. And, you know, what I get from too many people is they want this change to happen today. They want some miracle man or woman to come out of the sky or something and just fix everything so we don't have to do it ourselves. Well, that is never going to happen. What is going to happen is a very long, tedious, hard road. You know, they didn't just, they, you know, in that movie, Pirates of the Caribbean, when Captain Jack there started running back across the boat. Now, he could have run across that boat all his life, and he's never going to flip that boat. Never. It took a whole pile of people that weren't even sure what the hell was going on. Just Jack's on to something. Jack's on to something. So we better do what Jack's doing. And so they start rocking the boat. And lo and behold, they didn't flip the boat. And when we flipped the boat, the, whatever you call them, first mate, whatever, getting up off the deck, the water's washing off the deck of the ship. And he looks up, and he looks around, and he goes, "We're back." Meaning he's back to reality, out of this fictional horse shit that we've been trapped in since the day we were born. That ain't going to happen overnight. It can't happen overnight. It's an impossibility. You know, I'm hoping I live another 30 years. Let's see, where's that put me? Yeah. Another 30 years. Because it's going to take a long time. I may not live to see the boat completely flip over, but I'd like to see the sucker rocking. Because once you get it rocking, your odds on flipping it over are pretty damn good. But if you don't rock the boat, you ain't going to flip the boat. And if you don't flip the boat, you're going to be stuck in this fictional freaking jail cell that you call your life the rest of your life. And it's just going to get worse. So we got to make it better. So it means we got to get involved. We got to talk to each other. We got to talk to our friends, our neighbors. You know, we have to be able to explain to them in some way that they can understand why their hydro bills are getting higher and why their taxes are going up and why their water bills are going through the roof. You know, you have to talk to each one as an individual. But we have to get them going. Like even this girl, and you know, I would have never thought this girl, and you can't tell a man or woman by the cover. Maybe you can tell a book by its cover, but you sure as hell can't tell a man or woman by their cover. They all have their own thought processes. You know, you may find someone that you think looks intelligent and turns out to be a toad, and someone that looks like they're dumber than a box of rocks. And they may just blow you away with their intellect. So you don't pick and choose. You just talk. And the more we talk, the more it sinks in people's heads. If we don't talk, they don't hear because there's nothing there to hear. It's just like a headline in a newspaper. You don't have to read the story to get the drift of the story. You read the headline. Now, the story may be all shit, but that headline ends up in your brain, and you think about it. You carry it with you. And that's how we get to people. We can't remain silent. We cannot remain silent any longer. I know this girl that I was talking to today, you know, I said, when I was, you know, in my 20s, in the 70s, I found it very, now I was a party animal, make no mistake about it. I mean, we traveled this country back and forth, and we were about as free as you could get, go where we want, when we want. I didn't make a lot of plans. We were just out tripping around. But I found it very disheartening when I would try to talk to my friends about, or anybody for that matter, about the future of this nation, which I had pretty well pegged in my head when I was in my 20s, that we were in big time trouble here if we didn't start understanding what was going on. And I said, you know, it's very difficult to have a decent, intelligent conversation with somebody. Now, I said, I don't know about you and your friends. Maybe you have, you know, maybe you've got a group of people that you can have intelligent conversations with. She said, not a chance, not a chance. So this is a rare kid, you know. So we got to encourage these young people who are taking the time to question things and read things. These are the people we really got to get after and help them. I mean, we're older. We have a life history, and we can see what they didn't see because they weren't here. We can look back on the progression of this nonsense from 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago or longer and understand how this has been playing out. Where someone was born 19 years ago and I got up a clue. Right? So we need to encourage them to do what needs to be done. And I was talking to an electrician. We're working on this commercial building, and I need an electrician. And one of the old electricians I used to use, he came over the one day, but he's pretty much got Alzheimer's bad now, and I don't want him farting around with nothing's going to hurt him. He's game, but it's not going to happen. And we had another electrician come in. He was an idiot. And we had another electrician come in, and he didn't want to do work after the other electrician had done some work. And then we got another one, and he never showed up again. And so we called in another guy who used to work with Mel. The guy has Alzheimer's now. So he showed up today, this Clint guy, nice guy, young guy, nice guy. And but he's actually quit doing electrical work because of liabilities. He's a good electrician. He's been doing electrical work for years and years and years, and he trained under Mel, who's a very good electrician and plumber. But he's pretty well walked away from the electrical end of it and is just doing the plumbing now because of liabilities and that to be in the electrical business now. And what don't they want you to have? Electricity. So, you know, I said, you know, when are people going to stand up to this crap, right? And he said, all we're trying to do now is dodge the government, right? We're just trying to stay away from them or keep them away from us. You know, we're working around them kind of thing. But you're not working around them, right? I had a really good crew years ago. I don't see how you can have a good crew nowadays. I, like Duck, I'm not going to get into this WSIB garbage. I'm not getting into this women's garbage. I'm not handing my hard-earned labor over to these clowns. Besides that, I don't need it. But a lot of these guys who had crews don't have crews now because they're being buried in paperwork, unnecessary paperwork. They've been turned into tax collectors. If they're attached in any way to this stuff, their liability can be quite deadly to them. So very few guys around here are running crews anymore. They just got one or two guys, and that's it. You know, themselves and maybe a helper or something. That's it. And so what's happening is that they're running the small guy out of business, just like they ran the small mom-and-pop grocery stores, the mom-and-pop clothing stores, the mom-and-pop restaurants, run their arses out of business. And now you got these large corporate chains. And this is what they're doing to the construction industry as well. And what are we going to do? We're going to end up working for these clowns? You know, the whole idea was, you know, people get into business because they feel and think independently. And now you talk to them and they're afraid. You know, when I have construction guys who I always thought were pretty tough, acting like little girls and walking on eggshells because they don't want to get in trouble, It really bothers the hell out of me. I'm just really, I'm sorry. I just was reading some of the stuff here in the chat. And Battle of the Generic Roid Monsters, or is that supposed to be Road? I don't know. Road of Roid Monsters, first one to have a heart attack loses. Great game. And if Montreal is actually from Montreal, as a shout out to you, because although I haven't been to Montreal in quite a few years, it's a rare town, I'll tell you. But the store we're working on right now, one lady's work there, she went to Montreal for Christmas. Her daughter's going to university there or whatever. And she just came back the other day. And I asked her, how she liked Montreal. And she'd been there before, but this time she said she didn't care for it this time. And so I know Montreal's changed a lot. I know downtown's changed a lot, or so I'm told, with all this green garbage and stuff. I mean, Montreal downtown was just a glorious party place. People were friendly, and the bars were open all night, and the restaurants. It was just a grand place to hang loose, without worrying about too much. But yeah, I've heard Montreal's changes. All cities are changing. They're all becoming controlled by the globalists, and each city is becoming what they're told. The mayors and that are told to make it become, and the planners and that. So I hope Montreal's still hanging in there. I would think that would be a terrible loss, to see Montreal go the way of the rest of this country. Great town. If you want to get the snot scared out, you get in a cab in Montreal, cinch up your seatbelt good and tight because you're going for a ride. And we were in some cabs. I swear we were on two wheels some of the times, but they always got us where we're going, so that's okay. But yeah, I don't know. You get disheartened because nobody's paying any attention, and then run to a young girl like that today, reading 1984. Now she's going to go and check out just who the hell George Orwell was, and she's going to go look for Orwell's dad, who was a bureaucrat, and hopefully she's not just reading a book anymore. She's reading a piece of history. And that's a good thing. One thing I'm also going to do, which I didn't have time to do on Tuesday, when I was talking to Michael, I was talking to some of the kids, and most of the kids, when I talk to the kids and ask them, how's school going? Do you like school? Most kids I talk to just turn their nose up. They don't want nothing to do with the place. But this one-room schoolhouse, I think it's still a one-room schoolhouse, a very small school anyways. It was a one-room schoolhouse. When I was out at the farm and the kids were out there and they had their friends out there, and talked to them for a bit and asked them how they like going to the little school they go to, and they all smiled. They all love it there. So it gives you pause, right? Like, why is it when I talk to public school kids, they turn their nose up, they don't want to go back? And wait, when I talk to these kids out in the country, they're going to a private one-room school or whatever, they're all enjoying their school. What's the difference? I think the difference is the teachers give a damn, and they're not worried about their pension. They're worried about the children, and they're worried about what they teach the children. They want to teach them truth, where the teachers in the public school system teach whatever the curriculum tells them to teach, regardless of how stupid it is, or how rude it is, or how wrong it is. They just want to teach the curriculum. That's what they're taught to do. So they just regurgitate stuff that was made up in order to destroy the children. Now, when I say I'm going to get after the Jews here, I'm really getting ticked off at these guys. Now, like every group of people, I'm sure there's some good Jews, and I'm sure there's some good everybody. But I'm talking about those who run the show. I'm sure there's lots of Jews that don't know even what's going on. But the ones that run the thing. I keep seeing stories out of Jew News and these different Jew News outfits that they're warning the people, and they're saying that the Muslims want to destroy the Jews. And the problem is the Jews are the ones that are using the Muslims to destroy the Christians, to destroy the West. And that's really starting to irritate me. Because people say, oh, well, the Muslims are after the Jews. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're partners in crime. Only the Muslims don't understand what the upper echelon's doing. And using them as bait, using them as cannon fodder, using them as war munitions, if you will. And the Christians, they don't know anything. They're actually sponsoring the Muslims into their communities. Now, that's about as dumb as you can possibly get. But they're doing it. And why are they doing it? Because their churches were taken over back in the 60s. What for? To push the agenda. So to all you preachers out there who have your flocks sitting in your pews, as you manipulate them in your Jesuit fashion, because it was the Jesuits that were supposed to infiltrate, and even though they stood at the pulpit in Christian churches, looked down upon the congregation, wanting them all dead. And that's basically all your preachers are today. They're total turncoats. And they're pushing, all of them are pushing the UN globalist corporate agendas. What sickens me is that these Christians are that stupid that they sit there week after week in these churches not getting it. You know, there's a huge Christian population in North America. And yet they got to be some of the dumbest bunnies walking the planet. They don't seem to get it. And maybe they don't get it because they're so used to being led. We'll go to the church and listen to the preacher or the priest or the pastor. He's a man of God. He won't steer us wrong. Surprise. You've been had. Absolutely had. And I come back to Donald Trump, who apparently is a great fan of Israel. You see, our prime ministers up here in Canada, right or left, doesn't matter. All pro-Israel. And what's Israel doing? It's killing people all the time. This is God's chosen people? This is the land that God gave this murderous group? Is this the same God that said, thou shalt not kill? And here we have those in Israel whacking off children, bulldozing homes. And here we have presidents and the prime ministers all sucking up to Israel. Israel doesn't seem to be getting overrun with migrants. Why is that? One, they don't want them there. Two, they're using them. And they're foisting them upon us. And yet our so-called leaders are in bed with Israel. Where did Israel came from? It came from a combination of World War I and World War II. Now, did anybody get killed in those two wars? Oh, yeah, hundreds of millions. Thou shalt not kill. Israel wouldn't even accept the first state that was offered to them in North Africa. They didn't want it. They wanted Jerusalem. So, Second World War, they get what they want. And I don't know why people can't see this tangled web, because that's what it is. And we're going to untangle it. That's the beauty of this. I mean, we've got to turn this into as much fun as possible. And I think we're going to. I do believe we will. You're getting somewhere when anything they say becomes humorous. I mean, here's a classic example. I checked the weather yesterday, and what it said yesterday was that the high temperature for this day yesterday was plus 15, and the low, and that was in 18 something, and the low, which was minus 18 or something, was in 18 something. About 10 years difference between the max high and the max low for this day. It was way back in the 1800s, 1870 something. So now we have this, the records on this date for today, where I live. The record high was 1998 at 11.2, which is still considerably cooler than the high in 1870 something, which was 15 degrees for yesterday. And the record low, so they're going, oh my God, look at this. It's global warming. It's 1998, December or January the 5th, and it's 11.2 degrees. But a year later, on the same day, in 1999, we hit a record low for the day at minus 17.1. Well, if 1998 is global warming to be concerned about, then I guess 1999 on the same day must be global cooling to be concerned about. The biggest single fraud that has ever been foisted upon man is what we're fighting, because everything is attached to this. You can't use electricity, you can't use water, you can't do this, you can't do that, and it's all tied to this nonsensical, idiotic, straight out in your face lie. Started out as man-made global warming, and then it changed to man-caused global warming, and then it, or human, now is human caused global warming, and of course, good old climate change. And every one of the leaders in the Western world, at the very least, always says they're doing what they're doing in order to stop climate change, which means there isn't a leader in the West that doesn't need to be locked up and put into a rubber room. Anyways, I hear music, and everybody take care. And I'm going to go and pick some slivers out of my fingers that I got at work today. And then get back to work tomorrow. I'll get back on the radio Saturday night. Revolution Radio, and then back Sunday over at my favorite place on the planet, UTY.com. Everybody, have yourself a grand night, and stay healthy, stay happy, and if you're up here, stick on the ice. We are now out of here.
The anti